Dr. Brent Musburger, and you are listening live to Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio with my main man, Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive Insurance guest line. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance at progressive.com. Jared Dubin joins us CBS on week 5 in the National Football League. How are you, Jared?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm not trying to, I don't want to overreact or anything, but it just feels like in New England it is starting to fall apart. What is your read on Belichick and the Patriots and where the future may be between Kraft and the head coach?
Yeah, I don't think starting to fall apart goes far enough. It seems like they've pretty much fallen apart. Like, they had the worst loss of the Bill Belichick era last week and almost topped it again this week. And, you know, they haven't scored a point in, like, 119 minutes of football or something like that. It's absolutely crazy. Like, the and honestly, the biggest problem, apart from what we're seeing on the field, is the way that the roster is built. They don't have, you know, really great players on either side of the ball now that Matt Judon is out and now that Christian Gonzalez, who looked like a real find, is out. Like, who are the great players on either side of the ball for this team right now? They really just aren't there. The way that they built the roster over the last 3 years, their spending spree in free agency a couple of years ago really did not work out at all, and they just have not hit in the draft in the same way that they did in previous years either. It's ugly.
All right, let's go to the London game, and the Bills had a kind of a lackluster effort against Jacksonville, and a lot of people are making idea about their travel plans. Is that common to go out there just days before a London game, or do you think it's better to go, hey, midweek, let's head out there and get acclimated?
Yeah, I think it's probably better to go out there earlier. I'm sure that the Bills and plenty of other teams have access to more data on that than I do. It just seems like it's probably not the best idea to only travel a day or so before the game, especially given how early that takes place. Like, if they're traveling there on Friday, they're moving, you know, there's less time once you get there. They lose time. So it's like they're only there for a day before they snap the ball. I don't know. I feel like getting there earlier is a better move.
Jacksonville was supposed to be, again, they're just 3-2, so it's not like they're 1-4 or anything, but I feel like the Jags are kind of in mud. I expected them to sort of pop a little bit. They're not. What is your read on Jacksonville?
Yeah, I expected that too, and it hasn't really been that way so far. Calvin Ridley, after that massive first game, has sort of taken like a significant backseat in the offense, and I think some of it is trying to reincorporate him. Some of it is, you know, yesterday was the first time that they had their starting offensive line because Cam Robinson was coming off the suspension. And some of it, I think, is just sort of sometimes teams don't play as well as they're capable of. You know, it's a combination of different things, I think.
The Philadelphia Eagles keep winning this brotherly shove debate. Is the NFL going to look into this, or are they like, no, we've already made a decision on this, and we're okay with it?
I mean, I'm sure somebody else will bring it up again, try to get rid of any significant advantage another team has based on, like, if there are things you can outlaw. But
yeah,
I mean, I don't think it came close to being eliminated this past offseason, so I'm not sure that it would be eliminated this offseason. I can't see that many teams changing their mind on it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I look at it and I go, what's their debate? They've already discussed this. This is not brand new. They've done this before. This is a decision they've already made. But yeah, if you bring more media attention to it, I guess, but there's really nothing. It looks like it's here to stay.
Yeah, the only way I could see something happening is if, you know, somebody gets hurt on it.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, the Giants had a couple of guys get banged up on it when they did it last week. I think if we see more stuff like that happen, then maybe that will sort of sway teams toward, like, hey, I know the Eagles are really good at this, and that's fine, but if players are getting hurt when other teams try to do it, then maybe they try to get rid of it that way.
Last night, I was settling in to watch what I thought was going to be this, like, heavyweight NFC matchup, and it went one way with the Niners and the Cowboys. What is your large takeaway of where the Niners are and what the Cowboys are going to have to do now?
I mean, the Niners are pretty clearly the class of the NFC along with the Eagles. The Cowboys were, you know, up there with those two teams last season, but I think that, you know, the gap has widened between them. I don't think you can look at the way the season has gone and the way that game went and come away with any other conclusion. I think you have to call the Cowboys' efforts to fix their offense this offseason by moving on from Kellen Moore and installing Mike McCarthy as the play caller and changing their offense so that it's, like, so over the top, overly conservative, that they don't even throw the ball downfield. I think there's nothing to call that other than a failure based on the way this season has gone so far. I know that they've scored a bunch of points in three of their games, but they scored at least one defensive touchdown in each of those games and two defensive or special teams touchdowns in two of them. The offense, when it gets in the red zone, everything is constricted, and you would think a team that loves to throw the ball short would be able to succeed there, but hasn't succeeded at all. It's just everything that they tried to do this offseason, even as far as bringing in Brandon Cooks, the guy has 75 yards in five games into the season. Everything that they tried to do this offseason to narrow the gap between them and the 49ers has been a failure so far.
Yeah, it is. It's got to be really disheartening to just keep losing not only the same team, but losing these sort of meaningful games to the same team. Let's go to Cincinnati. Let's go to Arizona, where Cincinnati played the Cardinals. Joe Burrow on that calf injury. Well, he throws for 317. He throws for three touchdowns. He throws a deep touchdown to Ja'Marr Chase. I don't know if this healed in a week where he looked awful and then started to look good. What do we know about this calf injury? And is it gone?
Yeah, I thought when he played well against the Rams on Monday night a couple weeks ago that it was going to be all right, Joe Burrow's on his way back. He's not going to take a big step backward. And then they came out the next week and, laid an egg against Tennessee, which tends to be one of the friendlier pass defenses in the league because right. They don't let anybody run on them. And then obviously comes back this week and looks great again. So I would like to think that the calf injury is behind them and the Bengals are going to be just fine. But I also thought that 2 weeks ago. So I'm sort of I've got my guard up just a little bit still.
I'm with you. The Steelers, can they keep winning games with defense and special teams? Okay, I get the offense clicked on the drive to Pickens, but this offense is still a Matt Canada, let's get rid of him sort of fan base yelling and screaming offense.
Yeah, I would say if their opponent keeps dropping seven passes a game, including
good point.
Two or three touchdowns, then yeah, they can keep winning like that. But if their opponent comes out and actually, executes offensively, it's just going to be really difficult for them to do that.
Yeah, it felt like Baltimore should have won this one going away. They made so many mistakes in this game.
Oh, my God. I mean, they dropped at least three touchdown passes with Rashad Bateman, Mark Andrews, and Nelson Aguilar. Each dropped at least one. Tate Flowers had a drop over the middle and another one where he got a pass broken up, as he was trying to bring it down. Aguilar had another deep drop. They had a couple of situations where, even analytics models would have favored field goal over going forward on fourth down, and they decided not to do that and didn't come away with points. They left so many points on the field in that game, and then obviously gave a bunch away with, the block punt that they gave away for a safety, too.
Give me on the Denver Broncos and the Jets, a read on Russell Wilson. I know he fumbled the ball late. I know their defense is terrible. I know their offensive line isn't good. Is Russell Wilson playing okay? Where are you at with his relationship with Sean Payton and how he's playing this season?
I really don't think he's playing well at all. I think that them throwing, some touchdown passes on deep balls, especially one that got deflected on a Hail Mary that bounced into a guy's hands and wound up being a touchdown, has sort of overshadowed the fact that everything they do for the most part is within a few yards of the line of scrimmage. He's not really pushing the ball downfield. He's not, and when he does, it's not really going well for them. He hasn't developed a rhythm really with Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy to all that great of an extent. It has not been good for them in the passing game. The best thing they do is throw screens basically, and that's not really a sustainable way to run an offense.
On the flip side of that, do you feel that there's a little momentum going the Jets' way? They played well in a loss against Kansas City. They do win this game, even though it is against a Denver team that's got a lot of flaws. Is there a switch that's starting to happen? Is there any flicker of life?
I think their defense is still very good. That against teams that don't have great offenses, I think that that'll keep them in some games. But if there's a team that, can really put up points, it's going to be difficult for the Jets to compete. They're about to play the Eagles this coming week, and I really don't think that's going to be pretty for them at all. So there's something there where they can, not be a disaster against teams that mostly aren't competitive, but it's I don't think it's necessarily a flip has switched and all of a sudden they're going to be, you know, a playoff team or a contender or anything like that at this point.
Jared Dubin of CBS. You can find him on Twitter, JADubin5. You can also check out his work at CBS. Great stuff as always, my friend. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
You got it. I am talking some NFL, just going around the games and the scores. Again, Monday Night Football tonight, the Raiders, who are 1-3, are going up against Jordan Love and the Packers, who are 2-2. It may not pop on your radar, but it's Monday Night Football, and we only have one game tonight, so we don't have a doubleheader to move our attention back and forth. All right, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's.